Welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, coming to you from Vikings Entertainment Network Studios at Winter Park. We are in the middle of the abyss. It is the slowest time of the year for the NFL calendar, but even in the NFL's slowest time, there is still a lot of stuff to talk about, and we're going to talk about some stuff related to the Vikings and the NFL right now. Helping me do so is not producer Nate Vaughn. It's producer Jordan Strzok. Hello, Jordan.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm very good. I love this time of year.
Me too, especially when Nate Vaughn is gone gallivanting across the world.
Everywhere, right. Where in the world is Nate Vaughn? He thinks he can take a bunch of time off. You're going to hear from Jordan Strzok a lot today in this edition of the Wobcast, but in the next two Wobcasts as well, because I think Nate is trying to make a point. He's leaving, seeing if the show will go on without him, and I have a feeling he's going to be sadly surprised that the show goes on without him. So
we also intend to make a point.
Right. Oh, yeah. And we will, and we're going to start doing it right now. We hope you like Adrian Peterson, because Jordan and I are going to be talking quite a bit about Adrian Peterson, especially early in this edition of the Wobcast. Later on in the Wobcast, we're going to get into a word association game with one of your favorite regular guests here on the Wobcast, voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen, and we'll close this show with some of your mail. But first, the NFL Network's top 100 players of 2016 came to a close earlier in the week, and it did so by including Vikings running back Adrian Peterson. He came in at number
5.
Well, we have to be careful on the sounder. Admittedly, we recorded this Wobcast before we found out what number Adrian Peterson came in at. So to do the honors, we go to an electronic helper to tell us that Adrian Peterson, on the NFL Network's top 100 players of 2016, came in at number
5.
In 2015, Adrian Peterson won his third rushing title and the Rare Runner's Triple Crown. He led the league in carries, yards, and rushing touchdowns.
He runs angry. I love that about him. If you do anything angry in this game, it's going to help you out quite a bit.
No, don't run in my hole again. Don't come my way again.
I'll take five. We'll see.
I like to refer to Adrian Peterson as an animal. I mean, the guy is just relentless. He doesn't stop. You know, his legs is always moving, and he breaks tackles, man. The guy, he runs angry.
Hey, guys, get out of the way. They're tired of hitting you.
Give it to the horse again. Give it to Big Brown now. Keep fighting, fellas. Ha ha, go.
You know, if you ask defenders who's played against him, you know, they said it hurts when he runs, so you gotta respect that and admire that.
When we played them, the first drive I had to make like 4 solo tackles on him, and you know, my shoulder's kind of still banged up from it, but tough, man. It's tough.
Good work, man.
You're the greatest, man. Yeah. You are.
All right, I appreciate it.
I gotta bring it if I'm playing against
all right,
you.
Right, I mean, it's all love, man. Competition.
And I just love, like, you know, he's a big guy that can make guys miss. I mean, even if it's in a small little space, he can make guys miss, whether he's gonna go through you or he's gonna go around you. So he is a combination of both.
The way he finds holes, you know, or he makes them happen, you know, the way he jump cuts this way, that way, then he finds a hole and breaks through. I mean, the guy's amazing. You can't pick and choose a gap on him, because he plays the game with you a little bit, because you're on one side of the ball and he's like, okay, I'm going to be over here. Then I'm over there. Then he's like, okay, I'm out of my gap. And now this guy's, you know, on a 10-yard run. So the way he finds holes is the best thing he does.
Hey, I'm a stop from Minnesota.
It's time to get in the zone.
You know, he's playing Denver, and Denver's doing a phenomenal job stopping him. And one short yardage play, boom, to the house. And it's just that quick, he can change the game.
To the 30, it is loose to the 10, 5, touchdown!
Chargers was a big one because he stiff-armed somebody, cut across field, just a combination of strength, speed, and all that. And it's so easy for him.
He gets out to the right side, stiff arms a Charger at the 40. Adrian's to the 30, heads to the left of the 20, shakes the tackle, and it's loose!
former first-round draft pick is now 31 years old. This season will be his 10th. His name is top among running backs on this year's top 100 list. The only question is, where will the future Hall of Famer rank in terms of the all-time greats?
Best running back of his generation would be Adrian Peterson. You know, in this league, I think it's about your mentality and you know, how you approach the game. He has a heart full of fight.
Line up on that line, that guy in front of you, that's when the opportunity presents itself. And you always want to have to answer that question. Are you going to be great? Huh? Every play.
If you look at him right now, he's making the same type of runs he was making when he first got in the league, and I think that's amazing. It shows the type of work he put in and what he does for his body to take care of himself.
He's not slowing down at all. I don't think he's ready to pass the torch off to anybody anytime soon, and just one of those really impressive running backs.
I was like, man, how long are you going to play? He said, yeah, I'm going to play till I'm 40. I was like, AD, that's 10 more years from now. And he really think he can do it, man. You can't tell this guy that he can't do nothing.
Believe it, and it's going to happen, man.
He feel like he can do it, and he's going to put his mind to it. And I'm really starting to believe that he can be one of the guys that play that long.
Fifth time in the last 6 years that Adrian has been in the top 10 on this list. Joining him in the top 10, Luke Kuechly, Julio Jones, Gronk, Odell Beckham Jr., Antonio Brown, J.J. Watt, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and Cam Newton, the group of players that join Adrian Peterson in the top 10. So really not much to pick at there. That's a pretty solid list. But I did look at the next group of 10 players, 11 to 20, and came up with a few names that I think you can make a case to put him into the top 10. Von Miller.
That one's a little surprising. That one jumped off the page at me that Von Miller is not in your top 10.
Yeah, right. And no linebacker other than Luke Kuechly is in the top 10. So certainly linebacker, an important enough position. There are three of them on the field in base defense where you could warrant having multiple in the top 10. Von Miller made a huge impact all season long, but particularly in the Super Bowl where he made a defensive play that led to a touchdown. And I know a lot of our coaches have said that Von Miller was the best player the Vikings faced in the 2015 season. So kind of surprising he wasn't in there. No defensive tackles in the top 10. I would say J.J. Watt is a defensive end, even though he plays inside a lot in that Houston Texans 3-4 front. No defensive tackle in the top 10. So Aaron Donald in that group from 11 to 20. And then no corners in the top 10. And so the next three corners listed from 11 to 20 were Patrick Peterson, Richard Sherman, and Josh Norman. I think you can make a case, not for all three, but for one of those three guys to be in there. The problem is, who do you bump out? I mean, you know, you're not going to bump out Adrian or Gronk. I guess there are a lot of receivers in the top 10, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, and Antonio Brown. But J.J. Watt, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Cam Newton, can't really knock any of those guys out. So, you know, one of those deals where when you start criticizing parts of the list, it looks like you're slighting a player, but really you're kind of splitting hairs, especially when you get into the top 10 and even the top 20. So to review, Adrian comes in at number
5.
And two other Vikings cracked the top 100 list. They were Linval Joseph at number 76 and Harrison Smith at number 73. If the Vikings have another season in 2016 like they had in 2015, going 11-5, having the number 5 scoring defense in the NFL and winning the division, it's very likely that you'll see more than three Vikings on this list next year at this time. And to me, the most notable slight on the Vikings is Everson Griffin. Back-to-back double-digit sack seasons for Everson Griffin, not among the top 100 players in the NFL, according to this list, which is voted on by the players themselves. Speaking of voting, this time, fans, you got the chance to vote. The NFL asked you to vote for three games that it would put on its YouTube channel for full consumption, where you can watch these games from kickoff to the final play of the game, including the broadcast coverage, games in Vikings history. So the league gave you five choices. Vikings fans voted three of the games in, and here they are. The three games were Adrian's run to NFL immortality when he rushed for 296 yards against the San Diego Chargers, which is an NFL single-game record. Randy Moss's Thanksgiving touchdown trio in 1998, where he scored three times against the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day. And then the Vikings' epic upset of the San Francisco 49ers in the divisional round of the playoffs following the 1987 season. So those are the three games, Vikings fans, that you will be able to watch from beginning to end on the NFL's YouTube channel beginning in August. Our very own Craig Peters, senior writer at Vikings.com and for the Vikings Entertainment Network, has an article about this explaining the voting process and giving you a summary of each of the three games that will be available for you to watch. So make sure you go to Vikings.com, find that article, and check it out. Other games the Vikings are involved in that other teams' fans voted those games in: the Vikings lost to the Oakland Raiders in the Super Bowl, and then losses that the Vikings had to the Atlanta Falcons and to the New Orleans Saints in NFC Championship games. The Falcons in 98, of course, and the Saints in 2009. So games we'd like to forget, but there's no way to forget them. You'll also be able to watch those games from beginning to end, although I have no idea why you'd ever want to do that. Jordan, you were at one of these games. You and I were both at the 296 game for Adrian Peterson. Any memories from that game?
Yeah, that was my intern season, my very first season with the Vikings. A young 19-year-old strapping Jordan.
Yeah, I like it.
I got to go down to the sidelines. We weren't filming on the sidelines back then, but I got to go down on the sidelines for the last fourth quarter. And
yeah,
it's just, you could just feel it. All the players on the bench, everybody was just talking about it the entire time, hoping and seeing where he was at and charting it.
Yep, and it really was a second half of the game thing, because I don't remember his rushing total in the first half, but it was a nondescript total. Like, I don't even know if it was 50 yards. And then Antonio Cromartie returned a missed field goal, 109 yards for a touchdown, like right at halftime. So the first half of that game was really not good for the Vikings and nondescript, except for that Cromartie touchdown return. The second half is where Adrian turned it on.
Also an NFL record at the time.
Yeah, that's right. That is right. And so that was a cool game. Both Jordan and I were there. I'm sure some of you listening were there as well. Of course, everyone remembers Randy Moss's Thanksgiving Day game where he had three touchdowns. That was in his rookie season, and I think you can argue the best rookie season by a wide receiver in history, perhaps, was Randy Moss's 1998 season, and that was probably a shining performance of a spectacular season by Moss. And then the Vikings epic upset of the 49ers in 1987, where the 49ers had a bunch of stars on their team. A lot of people expected them to perhaps go to the Super Bowl, but the Vikings go into Candlestick Park and upset the 49ers, and then go on to the NFC Championship game to play the Washington Redskins. So later in August, folks, you'll be able to watch all three of those games on YouTube. Kind of a cool thing that the NFL is doing. Another guy who was at that Adrian Peterson game in 2007, where he ran for 296 yards and set an NFL single-game record, was voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen. We had him into the studio earlier in the week to play a little game with us. It's word association with Vikings Vox, Paul Allen. Here it is. All right, it's time for a new segment on the Wobcast. It's word association. Our first participant in word association on the Wobcast is none other than voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen.
Are you going alphabetically?
No.
But well, I'm Allen.
If I did, we would start with Allen.
Okay.
But we're going with you first, no matter what.
Excellent. So excellent. I'm excited.
Welcome to the Wobcast. Thanks for playing word association. Are you ready?
Okay. I'm nervous, but I am ready.
Okay, here we go. NFC North.
Minnesota Vikings.
Teddy Bridgewater.
Home field advantage.
Because you like him playing inside at US Bank Stadium.
70-some-odd percent indoors, third season. Let's play.
All right. Word association with voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen. Matt Khalil.
Pizza.
Because he owns a pizza place, a pizza chain.
Biology.
I like it, which is in Mankato. Andrew Sendejo.
Tough.
Cordero Patterson.
Flashy.
US Bank Stadium.
Undefeated.
2016 holidays.
Victories.
Okay, because the Vikings play a bunch of games.
Yes, Halloween, Thanksgiving. Yes.
Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve, New Year's Day. Bang, 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 bang.
As producer Nate Vaughn pointed out, all of those games are on holidays and all of them are against
NFC North opponents.
Division opponents.
Sweet.
Emmanuel Lemur.
Athletic.
Laquan Treadwell.
Work in progress.
Mankato, Minnesota.
Hot.
For the 51st year, Mankato will be the Vikings training camp home. Pretty cool. 51 years in a row.
Love it.
Cincinnati.
Zimmer.
Blair Walsh.
Forgiveness.
Alex Boone.
Bonafide team leader. And I say that, you know, and I said that on my 9 to noon radio show, that I feel Alex is going to truly be the leader of this offense. And I got banged on a little bit, Wobby, because people are like, well, Adrian carries the ball, Teddy throws it, you got Laquan Treadwell, Diggs in his second year. Mm-hmm. But not everybody either has the equity or the vocal wherewithal to naturally be that leadership kind of guy. Boone's been to the Super Bowl. He's not afraid to call people out, and he's not afraid to be a leader. So Alex Boone, offensive leader.
I love it. Anthony Barr.
Resurgent.
Green Bay. When you hear Green Bay.
Necessary evil.
Okay, playing the Packers. Terrence Newman.
Timeless.
Pete Bursich.
Our
buddy Pete Bursich. Yeah.
Analytical.
There you go. There's so many different ways we could go with that. We love him so much.
Yeah, I mean, he's such an elite football mind that my other option would have been Metallica because he loves Metallica.
He always wears a shirt with Metallica on it, too. Stephon Diggs.
Big time.
Mike Prefer.
Steady. He's a very steady, reliable individual who gets the most out of what he has with whatever's put in front of him. I mean, special teams can be forgotten until something goes wrong. But, you know, when a lot of these players are cut near the end of training camp, some of these players were really good on special teams, but they didn't necessarily fit in offensively or defensively. So it's been a treat watching Mike take what he has and make it work.
Great. Have you had a good summer?
It's been really good. Yeah, thank you.
What does the voice of the Vikings do in the summer?
Your announcer calls races at Canterbury Park Thursday through Sunday. And pretty much just get caught up on football, get ready for training camp, and just get ready for this team to go from heartbreak to Houston.
Tell people listening who are here locally when they can go to Canterbury and check out the races.
We race Thursday and Friday nights at 6:30 and Saturdays and Sundays at 12:45, and you can get all the information at canterburypark.com.
All right, there you go. Word Association with Voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Wobby.
All right, Wobby, any reaction to PA's comments?
Yeah. I thought it was interesting. Teddy Bridgewater, he had home field advantage as his word association, which is really words association to Teddy Bridgewater. So we let him bend the rules a little bit there, but I like his answer. And where he's going with that is playing in the controlled environment of U.S. Bank Stadium, where you don't have to deal with the weather elements and the wind. Historically, Teddy does very well in that environment. He's a 70% completion guy. When you look at his games inside, and his touchdown to interception ratio is better. I think Teddy's improving in his own right, whether he's playing outside or inside, but I think he will benefit from playing inside at U.S. Bank Stadium for 8 games of the season.
Yeah, I would have talked maybe a little bit about third year in the offense. I know that's more than one word, but you know, it's his third year in this offense. You know, he knows the ins and outs of it, you know, mm-hmm. a lot more comfortable. And I think we'll see a lot from Teddy this year.
My word association with Teddy would have been cool, because I think he's just a cool customer.
That's a good one.
Yeah. And I think he's, as you said, third year in the offense, I think he's becoming very comfortable with that. And I think he just looks cool, calm, and collected pre-snap. I don't think anything really surprises him. I don't think he freaks out even when something is happening that he didn't expect. I just think he's a cool customer. I loved his word for Sendejo, tough. And I think he's tough in a lot of different senses of the word, but the two that come to mind right away is he's physically a tough player. He's a physical, tough, hard-nosed player. And I also think he's going to be tough to beat out for the starting safety spot. And I know everyone is naming every player in the world as a guy who could beat him out, but I think at the end of the day, he started 13 games last year. He's going to be tough to beat out.
Well, and it's his job until it isn't. And you know what? And so far, from what I've seen too, I think he's going to be the top dog to beat out of there.
Yep. He had work in progress for Laquan Treadwell, which I think is fair. First-round pick, splashy position like receiver. The history of Randy Moss, which we've already talked about in this episode of the Wobcast. You expect Laquon Treadwell to come in here and have 15 touchdowns, and it's just probably not going to happen. That's not how this offense is built, and that's just not what happens with rookie wide receivers. If you look historically at the wide receiver position and rookies, they don't come in and make a huge impact all the time. So I think patience is key with Laquon Treadwell. And then Pete Bursich, we kind of had a laugh about that. He said analytical. There are so many different ways you can go with Pete Bursich, as you know, Jordan, from working with him on a regular basis. He's a great guy. He's an interesting guy. So many different words you can use in a word association game as it relates to Pete Bursich, a guy I really enjoy spending time with on the road at Vikings games, knows football inside and out. He's played it at the NFL level. He's coached it at the NFL level, and now he's broadcasting it at the NFL level. So I love his perspective on the game.
So I know you mentioned that, you know, you had a different answer for Teddy,
yep.
And it was cool. Is there any other ones that you had different answers for?
Yes, I'm glad you asked. Khalil, PA's answer was pizza, not because he thinks he eats too much pizza. That wasn't a rip on Khalil. It's because Matt owns a chain of pizza restaurants called Pieology, one of which is in Mankato, which I visited last year. Did you?
I intend to frequent again this year as I did last season.
Yeah, it's good. My word for him would be big time. And the reason for that is this is a big-time season for Matt Khalil, and I expect him to be a big-time player for the Vikings. He plays a very important position, left tackle, protecting Teddy Bridgewater's blind side. This is, in effect, a contract year for Matt Khalil, and I thought he had a nice bounce-back season last year, but I know people expect more from him, so I think this is a big-time year for Matt Khalil.
I think last season for Matt Khalil was very much a success, but it's also a season that you can build off of and hopefully get better this season.
Agreed. Mankato, Minnesota, PA said hot. I just think of training camp. I mean, you and I have spent months, literally months of our lives, in a dorm room in Mankato at training camp working, so... When we both grew up relatively close to Mankato.
Right. Yep.
I mean, you're what, 90 minutes from there, Wyndham?
Wyndham is just about an hour. So,
yeah.
And we used to call that Wyndham U. So,
okay.
Everybody from high
there.
School goes to Mankato.
Okay.
So.
And Mankato is, you know, 20 minutes from Waseca. So we both grew up there. You could call it our old stomping grounds, but to me, I just associate training camp with Mankato. And then Mike Prefer was one of the words. PA said steady. I think Prefer is calculated. I think he's everything Mike Prefer does on the football field and with his players. He has thought about ad nauseum. He's calculated. He knows exactly what he's trying to get done. If you watch the special teams periods at Vikings practices, I mean, he's got it down to the second. He's coaching guys up every second of the period, and I think he's just a very calculated guy.
I think that's a good call too on that one. I mean, especially with the amount of players that you have coming in and out of there on special teams, and
yeah.
You and I have talked about this before with, you know, the DB coach, he has to worry about corners and safeties.
Yeah.
The quarterback coach, he worries about just the quarterbacks. But with Mike Prefer, I mean, he's got to worry about the gunners, the returners, the
yep.
blockers, the, you know, all sorts of stuff. So,
and he's pulling from all parts of the roster for that, you know, offense and defense. So, yeah, I agree with that. And so I really have a lot of appreciation for the job that Mike Prefer does. Speaking of appreciation for the job, how about Sid Hartman? He's 96 years old right now, still covering sports in Minnesota for the Star Tribune. And recently he took a tour of U.S. Bank Stadium. That tour included him sitting down in the seat that he will occupy in the press box at U.S. Bank Stadium. And, in fact, the media entrance to U.S. Bank Stadium will be named after Sid Hartman. So I thought that was a cool note, something that happened over the past couple of weeks as it was decided that the entrance for the media to the stadium would be the Sid Hartman media entrance. And then Sid took a tour of the stadium and sat down in his spot in the press box. I thought that was pretty cool. One of our executive vice presidents, Lester Bagley, had this to say about Sid. Sid has covered the Vikings since their inception. He's an institution within our community with athletes and the national media who cover professional and collegiate sports. He's been an incredible journalist who has chronicled the evolution of the Vikings over the years, and we just appreciate him so much. The Will family, the Vikings organization, all of our coaches and players love Sid. This is the least we can do to honor him. Go to Vikings.com to read Craig Peters' story on this to learn more about it, including a quote from Vikings Public Relations Director Bob Hagen, who's very close with Sid. He said some very nice things about Mr. Hartman as well, so kind of a cool story for the Vikings and for Sid. Okay, let's close the show with some fan mail, Jordan. We have three questions from three great fans, so let's get to it.
Question number one.
Mm-hmm.
With the Vikings having so much talent this year during training camp and having to cut the roster to 53, is there a high-profile player that you feel that might get traded for a draft pick to make room on the roster? For example, Asiata, Sully, or Berger?
Yeah, it's a good question, especially after the Vikings traded Gerald Hodges last year when they had some depth at linebacker. It's hard to say. You know, I think what I always think about with this is when you have depth at a position, I think you hang on to the depth. I mean, because you don't know when injuries are going to strike. I mean, last year the Vikings lost two starting offensive linemen right before the season started. And after they traded Hodges, both Kendricks and Barr got hurt, and then Audie Cole was lost for the season. So, I mean, the trade ended up working out great for the Vikings because you got a draft pick, plus that got Kendricks onto the field more. When Hodges left, that opened up a spot for Kendricks to play, and Kendricks led us in tackles. So, obviously, the trade worked out. But I just think when you have great depth at a spot, it's nice to keep that depth, although I understand the move. When you have too much depth at a spot, you trade it for something where you need depth in another spot. I get that whole thing as well. But, man, when you have depth is so hard to get in so many spots that when you have it, it's nice to keep it.
Question number two. Can we as fans look forward to another season of 96 Questions with B-Rob?
Well, Dan, from Rahway, New Jersey, this was a perfect episode for this question to be included because the man who films and produces 96 Questions with B-Rob is none other than the producer of today's Wobcast, Jordan Strzok. So, Jordan, I think you are more capable of answering this question than I, so what say you?
Most definitely there will be a second season of 96 Questions with B-Rob.
Yes.
That is if I can wrangle B-Rob into doing a second season, which shouldn't be a problem, no. But there's no chance that he won't give me a hard time the first 16 times I ask him.
Yeah, he will. But that show, or that segment rather, got so much acclaim and was so popular that I cannot imagine a scenario where B-Rob doesn't want to do it again, because B-Rob loves to be loved, just like the rest of us.
We all love to be loved. And you know what? The thing that pops out of my head, too, that would ensure that we do another season of 96 Questions is if you guys have any great ideas of questions that you'd like Brian to ask the other players, don't hesitate to send those in, because we're always looking for topics. Yeah. And it's not always easy to find something as fun or entertaining as, you know, every single week, you know, in and out. So if you guys have any great topics or ideas, please send them in.
Email them to me. You guys know how to find me, or tweet them to me, or tweet them to the Vikings, I suppose. Those are ways you can submit your ideas. We'd love to have some topics. Because it's an interesting show. B-Rob does a great job with it, so does Jordan, and another season of 96 Questions with B-Rob will return in 2016.
Question number three.
This one's just for you, by the way. I know how much you love soccer.
You're right. I, you know, every time I get to talk about soccer, I just get so excited.
Right. So calm down, compose yourself, catch your breath, and ask me this question.
John B. wants to know, during the recent European Cup soccer tournament, the team from Iceland celebrated victory with a Viking war chant. Well, we are the Vikings too, so do you think it would be a good idea for this chant to be used for the Vikings home games?
Absolutely, yes. I love this thing. And you know me, I am not Mr. Jump on the latest trend and go all in on it and love everything that everyone else is loving. Sometimes I love to be the contrarian and go the other way on things. But this right here, I've gotten tweets and emails about this. People ask me if I've seen it. I have seen it, and I love it. And I don't know if you've seen it yet. Have you seen it?
I have not seen it. Okay. Obviously, because, you know, I just couldn't find any time in the day to watch any European Cup soccer. But I'll have Wobby send this to me. It is interesting. I have heard a lot about it, and I think it could be really cool.
Yes, I love it. And the thing I like about it is it's not something that the Vikings, the team, created and is trying to impose on fans to make it a bit. It's a natural bit that another team which with Vikings ties is already doing and is doing really well. So I love this. Folks, if you haven't seen this, I encourage you to look across the internet to try and find it. It is Team Iceland's victory chant, the Viking war chant. It's super cool. Go and check it out. All right, that's it for this edition of the Wobcast. You got anything else in your notebook?
Empty. Nope. Everything's empty.
All right. We thank everyone for listening. We thank Jordan Strzok for stepping in for Nate Vaughn and producing this edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. We'll be back next week with another edition of the Wobcast as we continue to look forward to the Vikings 2016 season with training camp and the opening of US Bank Stadium right around the corner. Have a great weekend, everyone, and until next time, talk to you later. So, yeah, I started winning.